Welcome to Passion to Power with your host, Michelle Zeitlin. She's a creative producer who quote-unquote wears many hats. She's also a talent and literary manager and founded the company Morzap Productions and Management. She develops people and projects across all media. Her guests encompass the gamut, from artists to authors, actors to activists. Please welcome Michelle Zeitlin, Passion to Power.
I was absolutely thrilled to finally get an interview with Jocelyn Hamilton of E1 Entertainment Canada. I'd been after her for months and her schedule would not permit. It was delightful to find out that coinciding with this interview, she was being honored with an award from Women in Film and Television Canada, and she'll soon receive that Crystal Award. Here is Jocelyn Hamilton.
Jocelyn Hamilton, I'm president of E1 Television in Canada.
As president of Entertainment One's television division in Canada, Jocelyn leads the strategy for both scripted and unscripted content with an eye for quality and a global reach.
Well, thank you, Michelle. This is really nice to be here, and thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. Wow. Okay, starting now. I'm president of E1 Canada Television division, and that includes scripted, unscripted. We also have a podcast network, ironically. And so I oversee it from basically script to screen. Everything we try to do coming out of our Canadian division. So it's really a great gig.
So you've crossed so many avenues. You've been a woman in business, but you also have an education in Canadian cinema. So you have so much to share. Our listeners, just to give you a little background, are in two pods. We have the 18 to 26 aspiring creatives on their yellow brick road to success. And what I love is that the people who offer their stories can share that there is no one single way to get where you want to go, that we all have unique trajectories, and that can be a curly yellow brick road or a straight path with a veer or a fork in the road, like the scarecrow says. So that's part of the joy of this podcast. And then the people like myself who may have gone through some seismic shifts in the last few years with a worldwide pandemic, just before or just after, so many people are working remotely, deciding what is their purpose-driven work now, what is more important to them than just showing up at the office every day.
This is what you aspire to when you get into this business. You hope that you can be a person of influence and be able to help make decisions, figure out how to put the money together, help decide what books to option, what creators we'd love to work with, and be able to bring some of these projects to life, help to bring those projects to life. Because you can't do it alone. It takes a great team. It's definitely a business that requires great collaboration. And if all the stars align, and that's the pieces of the puzzle that you're trying to put together. If all the stars align and you're lucky enough to get it on air and all those stars align and you're lucky to get a hit, that's the thing we're all after, right? And so it's a great job. And I have a fantastic team. I like to call it sort of the dream team in our biz here. And so you can't do it without great people. It all comes down to that.
Person of influence. I love that you said that, because we use that word influencer. It's almost become tacky. And I love that you say a person of influence, because yes, that's what we aspire. We aspire that our passions can have power, right? Mm-hmm. And that power is often money, and money makes decisions, and having the decision-making power to be able to offset those funds and put them where you need them to be, to create great content. And you can't do that without a great dream team. But I think that comes from great leadership. I have found over and over that when the person is comfortable in their own skin and has a sense of their own confidence, people respond to that. You allow them to do their best work. You trust that they were hired because you know they can do their job. They don't need to be micromanaged. So I agree with you. Being a good leader, being able to trust your team to give them permission to serve.
That's exactly right. And that's, you know, I used to always say in the hiring process, hire someone who could take over for you one day. Like at the coordinator level, at the assistant level, at any level, it's like, I want someone smarter than me. I want someone who can take over for me one day, because then that's the ultimate goal, is that you're hiring people that are better than you. And my role as a leader, as you say, is to have a group of people who are complementary to one another. And then they're
both
all
with
doing
an I and an E, right? Complementary, yes. And complementary. Yes.
Yes. Correct. And that way you're, and that therefore that's should also be the diversity and equity piece of the puzzle as well, because it's complementary. We are not all alike, and that's good. That's good for debate. I'm a big believer in debating things too. Like let's all talk about it. And that's a leadership style also that I love, to sit around and let's put a topic on the table, talk about it till we get to a solution. Sometimes, if you know, this is a problem-solving business. Production is a problem-solving business. There's always going to, every day is a new day, and every day has a problem that we're trying to solve. And that problem can be in a script. It could be that this just isn't working. This part isn't working. How do we solve for it? This production issue has become a challenge. How do we solve for it? That's what we're doing all the time. And it's not one person who has the right answer all the time.
And I think that's a top-down effect. I get that for you too, that you're a person that respects people, and that floods down and then it rises up, because it's like a wave. When you trust your people, they rise to do the job. And like you say, we want people who are smarter than us, hipper than us, more current than us, you know, so that we stay in our role as useful human beings. And people of influence in a good way.
Yeah, we're like orchestra conductors, you know, it does require respect. And it's funny, because you won't last within our team if you don't have that. If you don't have mutual respect, or you're a kind of person who's really out for yourself, or you know, trying to climb the ladder and stabbing people along the way, that won't fly. It just won't last. That mutual respect and respect of our clients, and respect, we're all ambassadors to a culture and to who we want to be seen as and what we want to be known for. And so that does require, that's part of your hiring process. You want to hire people who come with that already in who they are. And that's part of the dream team that I suggest. All my team are really good human beings, really respectful, but really good at what they do. Finding that combination isn't easy, don't get me wrong, but that's part of who I would like us to be known for. You know,
well, first of all, you said stabbing in the back, and I can't imagine a Canadian who does that. To me, Canadians are the most civil people. That's a very American trait.
Well, you know, I mean, unfortunately, this business has had a lot of that over its history, yes. And so, but I just don't subscribe to that. I just don't think it's required. I like to believe we can have fun doing what we do, that it doesn't have to be mean-spirited, and we can have respect for one another as we're desperately trying to just make great content. So especially to your point with what younger generations are into, I want to know about that. You know, there's another thing you like to discuss around a boardroom table. If you're bringing up a topic, tell me what you watched this weekend. What are you into? What are you doing? We've got to stay relevant, you know, for our audience's sake.
I want to know what you're an expert at.
Oh, gosh. I can't say I'm an expert at anything. I do think sometimes being a good leader, you're kind of born with it. Like I, you know, it goes back in time. I was president of my high school, you know? So, I mean, it kind of is in who you are, trying to get the best out of people, believing that positivity and optimism and constantly having that sort of lead and guide you allows for me, it's what you said at the beginning, to get the best out of people. And I do think there's something innate about it. So I can't call it I'm an expert in it, but I certainly think that it's something, a gift I was given, I guess, to be able to lead people. And that does mean being a bit of a jack of all trades. And also it does mean having to say when you don't know something and having, I like the 80-20 rule. Some people it's 70-30, but that 80% of the time I'm right. And if 20% and if 20% I'm wrong, you own up to it. If I can get to 80% being right about decisions or right about your gut instinct, I believe there's something to gut instinct, then that's pretty good. Some people will go, if it's 50-50, I'm doing pretty well in this business anyway. But I like to aspire to about 80-20 if I can. But then you do have to admit if you were wrong or you failed and learn from it.
Okay, so the pecking order, who's at the very tippy top? Who do you call when you need help?
Various people, because it depends on what help I need. So I do tend to go to the expert of that particular field. So if it's something related to production, I might go to our head of production in wherever that might be, because it could be here, it could be in LA, it could be if I need someone that has more influence than me, I will go to the very top if I need to regularly. And luckily, again, E1, what I love about E1 and one of the reasons I came to E1 back in 2015 was because it has a very entrepreneurial spirit to it. It started out small, grew, then sold to Hasbro, right? At its core, it still has that entrepreneurial spirit. And what I mean by that is even the top person is completely approachable. You should be able to go to the top people. People should be able to come to me easily and I would welcome them through my door and ask me anything. And the same goes for the kind of person I would go to, whether it's our CEO or whether it's, the president of TV, which is Mike Lombardo. I should be able to call anyone up and be able to have a conversation or talk about something. And that is a cultural thing that E1 has. And I love that. Like, I think things are problematic if you can't, if you don't have sort of an open door policy that way, because people feel too timid to ask questions. You'll never learn if you can't ask the questions, and you'll never know what's happening on the ground if you don't have an open door policy where people can feel comfortable, enough comfort to be able to share their concerns even. I love to know the good things just as much as I like to know what's not working. How do you ever fix anything if you don't know what's not working?
And creating that sense of trust that you can ask and you can receive, and the humility of an acknowledging when you don't know something. That takes a big person.
Yeah, but you know what you do learn over the course of your career? You don't always learn, we were talking about mentorship. you don't always learn from that mentor you might have. You also learn from the people who don't do things right. Mm-hmm. Leaders who didn't lead well. You learn from that and you go, I'll never do that. I'll mm-hmm. never insult someone in the middle of a board meeting or a boardroom meeting. I'll never call someone out in front of other people. I'll never you just kind of learn those things that you've watched happen. And you go, as a leader, you're learning these little things along the way going, I'll never do it that way. And I remember even having to let go of people is a really hard thing to do when you let go of people. And I had to let go of a lot of people in one particular day because we were downsizing. And at the time, I was younger, much younger than I am now. So it was a real learning experience. I was throwing up. I you get really upset about it. But I knew I had to do it. We had to do it. And I wanted to apologize to the people. And the HR person at the time said, oh no, you can't apologize. You just have to say these words and you didn't. And I go, what do you mean I can't apologize? That makes no sense. I truly, as a human being, am sorry that this is happening to them. And so anyway, I did not take, and again, I'm telling you that because I learned from that to go, no, there's some times when humanity and the right thing goes against what you've been told to do, right? And so they were telling us that's how we had to let people go. And I chose to ignore that. And I can tell you that some of the people I had to let go of that day are still my friends today. And because there's got to be humanity in some of the not so nice things that have to happen in business. And that's why I will always tell people integrity is one of the only things you can take with you from job to job to job. Development, production, distribution. We have offices in Toronto and LA and London, and those are our main three hubs. We have development slates in each of those hubs that run sort of independently, but then also together as a company. As I said before, scripted, unscripted programming as well. And so Hasbro bought E1 a couple of years ago, and just before the pandemic, actually. So it's been an interesting integration doing that during the pandemic. But again, as a results-oriented company, and we ourselves being results-oriented, you just realize how to make things happen, right? No matter what. And there's a problem-solving thing was the pandemic. But we've had a great integration with Hasbro. I would say there's sort of two strains. There's the Hasbro branded Hasbro brands that are being created and developed into content, things like Dungeons and Dragons and Magic the Gathering, and of course My Little Pony and the kids' content that are now all part of one Hasbro kids and family unit. And then you've got the adult content. And then over on another path is our sort of independent shows that are being developed and produced, things like Yellow Jackets and Cruel Summer and The Rookie and Rookie Feds in LA. And then in our world, we've got Moonshine and the Spencer Sisters and Border Security and Unscripted and Arctic Vets in Unscripted as well. And we've had shows like Cardinal and Mary Kills People and Ransom all run out of our Canadian division. We shoot shows here as well that aren't Canadian, but they shoot here. Again, Yellow Jackets, and we had Designated Survivor for a while.
So your company creates content, but you also sell it and distribute it.
Yes. Yeah. We distribute all over the world. Our distribution team is out of London, UK. And yes, when we're able to keep the rights of shows, which a lot of ours in Canada are, we distribute it all over the world. That's part of the business. Obviously, it's changing as the streaming world becomes more prevalent, and rights are just tougher to keep. So the distribution business is changing, but we're still doing it. We're still selling. And I think it's important too, because there's a lot of networks around the world that can't get access to shows if streamers are keeping the whole world, right?
Right.
So it is a necessary part of the business.
Now, does Netflix have its own separate division in Canada?
It does, yes. They set up shop a couple of years ago, or probably maybe a year ago, they got a couple of fantastic executives. Disney Plus is now starting up their division as well in Canada, and Paramount Plus just hired some content people, so it's starting to expand in the Canadian sort of office with those streamers.
And I know HBO Max is going through some restructure. Are you guys also selling and distributing to HBO Max?
I think the whole industry is in flux and right. moving and changing and trying to figure themselves out and cost containment and all of that. So I think we're just moving with the times. We're going to, along with everyone else, just figure out, you know, who's buying content, you know, and there's quite a few AVODs now that are movers and shakers. And so, you know, we're going, content will always be king. And then how it's distributed, how it gets discovered is the ever-changing thing around it. But the content itself will find a home.
When you were president of your high school, what were you aspiring to be when you grew up?
Well, that's the funny thing. So what I wanted to be, an investigative journalist. I wanted to be Barbara Walters, to be frank.
You know, and that comes across in your personality. I was going to say, you interview like a journalist.
Oh, I've got a curious mind.
Yes.
Okay. And so I love to ask questions. The irony here is I'm the one answering the question, but I love to ask questions. I'm curious about the world. So I thought that's what I wanted to do. I was a page in the House of Commons after high school. I thought that's where I was headed. And yet I am lucky and fortunate enough to have worked in almost every genre in this business, from animation to live action to unscripted to scripted to documentary to docuseries to dramas, limited and beyond. I've worked in every genre except news and journalism. That's it's funny. The only genre I've never worked in. And yet it was the reason I wanted to get into this business in the first place. So yeah, radio and television. I went to school in radio and television. That was the course, and it was a well-known course, university degree. And then I fell into animation. I got a job right out of school.
But was that Nirvana?
So it was in animation. And I thought, well, I'll be here for a year or two. It was a coordinator position. I started at the bottom, worked my way up, right? And I was a coordinator, and I thought, well, this is, it's a job. That's great. Little did I know, I ended up in animation for 15 years. And then moved over into, ended up sort of a VP of production for the studio and overseeing about 25 series at any one given time. As the animation industry grew so much in the 90s, thanks to the advent of specialty channels and, The Simpsons and, it was a growing and burgeoning industry. And I grew with it. And then I moved over to onto the broadcast side. So again, I feel very fortunate to have been on both production and broadcast. Because I think innately we all kind of go, why do they do that? I'd like to ask that younger generation, because they can see things so differently with social media, with the way they've grown up, that we never, you know, they've never known a world without the internet, you know. So what would they do differently? If you look at the things that continue in this industry to be done the same way as they've always been done, there's a lot of changes, but there's some things that have all, that always continue. What would you do differently? And it is amazing, you know, I went to a web conference I was speaking at not too long ago. And, you know, therein lies, like, you see some of the creators and the things that people are doing and how they're able to shoot shows off their iPhone and like the things they're able to do and get it out to market and become discovered is amazing. Look for those new paths, just like the other cohort. Look for those new paths and go follow whatever it is you want to do. And there's so many different ways in which you can do it nowadays. Go do that, but do it with integrity, because that is the thing that will follow you along your career. And that social media and all the things that can trip you up now, you just have to be careful. So sticking with your integrity and making sure that you can always stand behind what you're doing on any one of those platforms or any way in which you choose to go, that's the thing that will follow you for the next 45 years of your career. So just, you know, just be careful along the way, but go for it.
I encourage all of our listeners, UK to LA, across the globe, to check out all the shows and to take heed of this advice. I call it kernels of gold. Thank you so much, Jocelyn.
Thank you, Michelle. This was wonderful. The only thing you have kind of control over is your integrity. There's going to be a lot of hurricanes and stuff that will happen around you, but you, your decision to maintain your integrity through business transactions or how you handle layoffs or how you handle things along the way is yours and yours only.
So thanks very much for listening to this episode, and please share all the episodes with your friends and colleagues. We appreciate your ratings and comments on Apple Podcasts and on social media. If you'd like more information about our programs and our special people and projects, please access www.morezap.com, More Zap Productions for Talent and Literary. And if you'd like to book a special one-on-one coaching or a group clinic or workshop, please access passion-power.com, and you can fill out our form there and make a request. Thanks again.